Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Luke Morrow in for the OG John Lopez. I'm Reginald Atatula. Figgy Fig always here with you as well. Guys are out at a day down out there at the Greenbrier in West Virginia of practice. Again, another dominant defensive day from all indications. We'll talk to Sean Pendergast at 12:40 and get more insight into what happened out there today. We'll hear from D'Amico at noon as well. All the things on what's happening out there as we continue to go today. But I did want to talk a little bit more about the Astros. The trade deadline came and went. They acquired three bats, no pitchers. And this weekend, we got to see some of those bats. Unfortunately, didn't lead to victories, but we can talk more about that later. Right now, though, whenever you get the trade deadline, you get more information about what could have been as well. And I thought that it was very interesting from Bob Nightingale of USA Today. I really butchered that man's name saying that. Bob Nightingale of USA Today. And there was a few nuggets. I think there was five nuggets that came through when it came to the Astros. And I'm interested in which one of these catch your attention the most, which one of these maybe you're the most interested in. Should they have happened, or if they could still happen? And so nugget number one, that Christian Walker was asked for in the deal to the Twins in one of the versions to acquire Carlos Correa, that ultimately the Astros said no to. All right, nugget number two, that the Astros had a chance to reacquire Justin Verlander from the Giants, but the Astros declined. Number three, the Astros are considering bringing back Ryan Presley, who was DFA'd by the Cubs. Nugget number four, the Astros rejected the Padres' request of Spencer Arrighetti and three prospects for Dylan Cease. We knew a little bit about that one. And finally, that Nolan Arenado was a backup plan in case a Carlos Correa deal was not able to get over the line. Is there one of those that really strikes you, that hits you the strongest when it comes to deadline nuggets for your Houston Astros?
They're all interesting. By the way, the Astros are like a, you know, suburban housewife. Like, nobody loves a reunion more than them, but...
What is that, the fourth reference?
Yeah.
That Lopez made, or not Lopez, that
today's Lopez.
Yeah, today's Lopez. Luke Morrow is made.
Yeah, that's right. We still got ways to go.
Okay, all right. He's ruminating on references that dropped in here.
Yeah. I would say Christian Walker, though, because I was surprised to hear his inclusion, because to me that says the Astros would be willing to move on from him already. And by the way, he's finally starting to hit this past month. The numbers have been good, but you know, half a season into the 3-year deal, move on from him. And then my question would be like, well, you know, if you had somebody that you feel confident in plugging in there, then by all means do it, like trade him away, because he's not as valuable of an asset anymore. He's expendable, but they don't really have that. So it seems like they were just willing to almost hand him over to get Correa. So that was the most interesting one to me, because I liked that signing originally. I didn't want to give up on him too early this year, and I'm surprised to see that the Astros at least were having conversations of already moving on from him. But at the same time,
I don't know how deep those conversations
it's
went.
Fair.
And I don't know if I was clear in that. It seems like the Twins maybe asked for him to be included, and they said no. So again, that goes the other way, where I know that there's people that who have been frustrated. Hell, I've been frustrated with Christian Walker and his bat to this point. But it seems like the Astros are still in on the Christian Walker experience, whether it's just because the defense has been substantial and capable at first base, or whether they still have a level of belief that that bat will come around, and we're not seeing a level of decline that maybe would be indicated by his last couple of years in Arizona, and then obviously once you tack on this season in Houston.
Okay, well then in that case, if that's how it went down that the Twins asked for him, which I'm also surprised the Twins would even do that, because they were trying to shed so much payroll, I'm surprised they were willing to take on anybody's contract. Then that's a different story. Then I'm happy to see the Astros are still, you know, they still feel strong in their first baseman. Although, you know, and this is a conversation for another day, but there is a hole you're going to have to open up on next year's roster based off of the current pieces. So
correct,
that might open that hole if you did move on, but that's a whole other story. So with that said, if that's how it went, I guess I would change my answer to going back to what I said a moment ago of just like always loving these reunions. You bring back Correa, there's at least thoughts of bringing back Verlander for a third stint, bringing back Ryan Presley. Like they love to bring some of these guys back here the last couple of years. And so if those occur, if those guys, especially Presley comes in, you know, I think that could be interesting. Maybe that would be number one on my list.
Yeah, Presley is the one that I think has gotten people's attention. Obviously, he's not too far removed from being a good reliever for you. However, he got to Chicago and he had some real issues being able to be as effective as you wanted to. However, I do wonder, in a lower leverage situation, could he be a guy that works in helping support your bullpen, especially seeing as you didn't add any pitchers, not you didn't add any relievers, clearly, but you also didn't add any starters so that when you got guys coming back from injury, they could slide into the pen. That might be a way to add a low-cost reliever that is familiar with the system, familiar with the pitching staff, and who, I mean, I'm looking at his game logs, his last, four out of his last five outings, he did give up earned runs. However, before that, I mean, he had a good stretch of eight games with the Cubs where he did not give up an earned run in his outing. So I do wonder if maybe, you still have the capability of Ryan Presley in there and you can have him return, oddly enough, in a lesser role than you previously had before you traded him, but and be some level of effective in addition to some of the other guys that you have with this pen right now.
Yeah, I mean, they brought back Hector Neris last year from the Cubs. They brought him back again this year. I think Presley's probably better than him at this point, so you could have him come in and kind of fill that spot that's been held by Neris. There's been some concern for me of that bullpen, some of your better arms wearing down as the season goes on, so Presley provides a little more depth there that hopefully you can save some of those arms through these dog days of summer and as you head towards a potential playoff run. But, you know, when I worked in baseball, they always said for starters, you look at their ERA. You don't look at win-loss. We all know that. The win-loss record for starting pitchers isn't as valuable. But for relievers, you look at their win-loss record more than ERA because for relievers, one bad inning could blow up their whole earned run average for the year. And that's kind of the case with Ryan Presley, where he allowed 40% of his earned runs in one outing this year when they left him out there to take one for the team, and he gave up 9 runs against whoever it was earlier in the season.
So, oh, I remember that game.
Yeah, poor guy. So if you take away that outing, that one appearance, his numbers do look a lot better on paper this year. I know he's not the same guy he was 2 to 3 years ago, but he's not as bad as the numbers might suggest in Chicago. And then to your point, you bring it back here. Maybe he's even pitching in lower leverage situations with the Astros than he was with the Cubs.
I don't even know. That could help too. I think that 100%.
I mean, he should.
You like Hader as your closer. I think that they're very confident in Abreu holding down that eighth inning spot. And so, like, highest leverage that you put him in is being a seventh inning guy or maybe having to pick up some, you know, higher leverage situations in maybe in instances where Hader or, you know, Abreu has gotten work on days prior. But I think that could work out well. I think the big thing, though, is how would he feel about it? Because I think that's what started to fray the relationship the first time.
Yeah.
He brought in Hader to take a role that was more substantial from him as the closer. And then that seemed to fray the relationship. It definitely did. Dana Brown talking about it at the when they were getting ready to trade him earlier in the season, the idea that, you know, they hadn't had conversations since that point. Like, that clearly dealt with it. And Ryan Presley is a human being. I expect him to have some emotions in that. I do wonder, is he capable of getting over that to return to the Houston Astros? Because it did seem like they had some thoughts. Remember, he had the no trade clause. They had some real conversations, him and his family, on whether or not they wanted to move away from Houston. So he has some affinity here. Just be interested on whether he'd want to come back, because it feels like maybe I'm speaking out of turn. Feels like a no-brainer in some ways to just kind of add him and see what he can get, knowing what the high end is possible.
Yeah, for sure. And I think his mom was tweeting about bringing him back to Houston last week, I believe. We'll have to check that Twitter account. But yeah, it's funny with the timing because, you know, Joe Maddon was just on our TV here in the studio talking about that transition of having a closer as from a manager perspective. How do you handle moving a closer to a, you know, maybe a setup man or a reliever, and things didn't go the smoothest for Ryan. But I would just say, like, if you look around, I mean, it comes down to options, but what other options might he have, or what other options might he have that are better than the Astros, where you've pitched obviously for a long time? You are from Texas. Like I said, I think his mom was tweeting about bringing back to Houston. You're going to join a first place team. So, you have to kind of accept, and I know it's hard for these guys, but, like, this is just kind of your role now. You're not that closer anymore. You weren't the closer with the Cubs either, and they got rid of you. So at this point in your career, this is just kind of who you are. And if you want to still pitch for competitive teams, it's going to have to be in the sixth or seventh inning.
All right. Real quick before we go, though, the Nolan Arenado idea as, like, fallback, if not Correa, especially for someone like you, Luke, who I know was not, like, super jazzed at the idea of Correa, not to say that you were not excited to see him return to the Astros, but you weren't, like, the most over the moon, as I think there have absolutely been around the city of Houston. Would Nolan Arenado have been at all preferable to you in this space as the third baseman the Astros acquired at the deadline?
No, I'd rather have Correa. I mean, I guess if the option was like nobody else or, you know, maybe Ramon, I don't know. I'd probably rather have Urias as well.
Really? As the depth guy compared to Nolan Arenado, who I think you feel better playing every day.
Arenado's a good defensive player. His numbers are not good this year. No. He's not the same. He's kind of over the hill at this point. Also, didn't he at least say publicly, I don't know how it played out, but didn't he say he turned down a trade in the offseason or the potential to come to Houston? Like, I didn't think he wanted to be here to begin with, so... It's the old Frank Costanza in Seinfeld. Like, if you don't want me, I don't want you. You know, don't come here then. We don't want you. So I was surprised by that. I didn't think there'd be continued interest from the Astros based off of what happened in the offseason and how he plays or how he has played this year. So it was somewhat interesting to see that. I would rather have Correa, though, at third, and I'm not a big Nolan Arenado guy at this point.
Fair enough. All right, so that's what's happened with the Astros. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610, 5:40 first pitch tonight. And you'll see Jason Alexander take the mound versus Sandy Alcantara.
Speaking of Seinfeld.
Yep. Not that Jason Alexander. We're not getting the Summer of George as much as we've tried to. By the way, it would be nice to find a Summer of Jason Alexander right now because his first two outings with the Astros have been so-so is the way I'd put that best case scenario. So hopefully we get a better. So maybe we can make the Summer of George jokes then. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah,
I would very much enjoy that, as opposed to yelling Serenity Now on my television.
That's right.
You're in the loop right here. I can throw references myself.
I love it.
Do it. Oh, wow. I did not know that was something that we could do. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping, including a date that I think that you should put on your calendar if you are indeed a true Texan. We'll do that next.